preaching of his word. Well, we begin this morning a new series of sermons looking at the life of Paul. And already you might have picked up that it's going to be a slightly different series than normal. Normally, I would take a book of the Bible and preach consecutively through it, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I do think that should be the normal practice for a Bible-believing church. But I also think there's a place for breaking from that normal practice and preaching on a given theme or a topic. And that's really what this series is like, the theme of Paul. As we're looking at Paul's life, we're not going to be turning to the same book week after week, going chapter by chapter through it. But to be quite clear, we are going to be turning to the Scriptures week after week, because it's the Scriptures that tell us about this man perfectly. You might know there are two main sources in the Bible for Paul's life. There's two main places that we're going to be turning to over the next few weeks. Firstly, you have the book of Acts, written by Dr. Luke, one of Paul's friends, one of Paul's co-workers. And Luke records for us in great detail some of the things concerning Paul. And then our second scriptural source will be Paul's own letters, the letters he wrote himself. We have 13 of his letters in the New Testament. And one of the great blessings, as we're going to see from Paul's letters, in contrast to a lot of letters that are written, he is intensely self-revealing as he writes. When some people write, you come to the end of what they've written and you know practically nothing more about them. Their personality doesn't come across in their letters. But nothing could be more different with Paul's letters. As we'll see, he pours himself into his writings. He speaks with moving and transparent honesty. He speaks of his joys and his fears, his longings and his tears. And so those are going to be our scriptural sources over the next few weeks. The second half, really, of the book of Acts and the Pauline letters. I must say I'm also indebted to a series of memorable lectures that Professor Donnelly gave in my second year at the Theological College. And it's been just brilliant to have the opportunity to look back over those notes in preparation for this series. This morning, we're going to be taking some various passages, really to get an introduction to this series. I've called this sermon, A Man Set Apart. Paul, A Man Set Apart, and a title I trust will become clear as we go on. Three things for us this morning. Firstly, we should have a great admiration for Paul. We should have a great admiration for Paul. It's hard to overstate the importance of the Apostle Paul. One commentator says, he's the most influential Christian who ever lived. That's a strong statement. He's the most influential Christian who ever lived. He is without doubt, friends, a man of unparalleled significance. Millions of people throughout the world this morning have read Paul's writings. Their lives are in the process of being transformed by his writings. Just think how many lives throughout the centuries have been utterly changed by God through Paul's writings. It's largely through God's use of Paul that what was a small, obscure, little religious sect, that it burst out of its boundaries from a dusty corner of the Roman Empire, and is now on every continent of the earth. So make no mistake, when we're studying Paul,
we're studying a figure of major importance. He was a man of profound intellect. He had enormous mental ability. Paul is able to plumb depths and scale heights that most people just aren't able to do. And indeed, there are times when we find ourselves relating with Peter. You might remember Peter in his second letter, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Peter is speaking of Paul's letters, and Peter says this: "There are some things in them that are hard to understand." And we smile, we relate to Peter, because there are some things, Paul says, that are hard to understand, but at the same time, there are so many things that are easy and simple to understand. That's one of the things that's so gripping about this man. He's an intellectual giant, and yet he can write clearly and simply about faith in Jesus Christ. That's not very common. Any fool can be complicated and difficult to understand, but it takes a clever man to be simple and easy to understand. That's Paul. And he wasn't just a writer. He was a fearless preacher. He brought the gospel to the ends of the earth. He was a pioneer missionary. He was a church planter. He was no armchair theologian, sitting surrounded by his books. His life was crowded with travel and service and evangelism and activity. And he wasn't a cold man, careless. Paul fizzed with life. He was extremely warm-hearted, regularly moved to tears, his heart often broken and burdened as he thought of his churches. His letters speak often of close relationships with others. In other words, this is a man you would want to know. This is a man you would want to know. We're not told what he looks like in the Bible, but I rather like what one historian says, a 6th century historian, John Malalas. So you take this with a pinch of salt. This isn't infallible by any means, but he says this: Paul had a thick grey beard, light bluish eyes, a fair complexion, and he was a man who often smiled. He was a man who often smiled. I like that. This is who we're going to be considering over the next few weeks. So the fact is, I know of no other person in the Bible apart from Christ himself who had a more profound influence on the world in which he lived. This man, God used in a major way to turn the world upside down for Christ. So we should have a great admiration for Paul. We should have a great admiration for Paul. We want to look secondly then. We should consider a brief introduction to Paul. We should consider a brief introduction to Paul. Many of us will know of Paul's wonderful conversion on the Damascus Road. And probably for a lot of us, that's where we would begin with the story of Paul's life. Or we might be able to remember a step back in his story when he was present at the execution of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. God willing, we'll come to those events maybe next week. But I want this morning, however, to give you a little insight into Paul's life before all of that. Paul's early life, his background. 3 points under this. Firstly, his place of birth and family. His place of birth and family. Now, we don't know a lot about Paul's early years. We don't know exactly when he was born. We do know where he was born. In Acts 22, verse 3, we read it earlier. Acts 22, verse 3, we have Paul in his own words saying this: I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia. And you have a little map in the order of service which will show you where Tarsus was. He was born in Tarsus, a center of Greek culture. What kind of city was this? Well, Paul also says in his own words, Acts 21, verse 39, he says, Tarsus was no obscure city. No obscure city. That's a massive understatement there. No obscure city. Most of us, I think, are a little biased as to the places we grew up, the towns from which we're from. Paul isn't being biased here. He's playing things massively down. No obscure city. Tarsus was a key city. It was extremely notable and influential. It was a university city. And perhaps you can see from the map where it lay. It was right in the middle of an important trade route. Lots of traffic came through Tarsus. Lots of seaport trade came into Tarsus. Tarsus was a busy metropolis, full of diverse culture. It was the capital of the Roman province Cilicia. This is where Paul grew up. This is where he's born, Tarsus. So from his childhood, he would have been familiar with Greek thought. It's a Greek city, Greek custom. From his earliest years, the diversity of this place would have stretched his horizon broad. His place of birth, his family, we don't know much again about his family life. From what we can tell, his father was a devout Jew. A devout Jew. And this is a Jewish family into which Paul's born. His father seems to be meticulously observant of the Jewish law. Listen to Paul's description of himself in Philippians 3, verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. All of which tells us something about how observant his father was. We don't know anything about his mother. There is, though, some speculation that his mother might have died while Paul was still young. This is because of something Paul says at the end of Romans. Romans 16. Paul is giving greetings again, one of his normal things at the end of his letters. Romans 16, verse 13, he says this. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. So Rufus's mother had been a mother to Paul as well. Now that could literally have been the case. We don't know for sure. His mother, his father. We know that he has at least one sibling. He speaks of having a sister, Acts 23, verse 16. So that's all we really know for sure about his place of birth and his family. He's born into a Greek cosmopolitan city in a very strict, very conservative Jewish home. What then about his upbringing? And education, the second point of his introduction, his upbringing and education. Well, growing up in a Jewish home, by the time he would have been 13, Paul would have mastered a lot of Jewish history. He would have known off by heart a great part, if not all, of the Old Testament. 13-year-olds take note. He would have known probably all of the Old Testament. And he must have shown exceptional promise because he was sent to Jerusalem to train. And this would have been the pinnacle for every Jewish boy. It must have been something like a Spanish little boy. Just think of a Spanish schoolboy getting signed up by the Barcelona youth team. The pinnacle of the national football getting signed up. Paul is getting signed up in Jerusalem by Gamaliel, one of the leading rabbis of the day. He says this, Acts 22, verse 3. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, we thought of that, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers. So, after 13, we don't know for how long, but he's training under this expert rabbi, Gamaliel. Paul would have been taught to debate and argue and teach and preach. This would have been the finest education in the world. Without doubt, he's a rising star here. It's reckoned that he had great ability in four languages, this man. His use of the Old Testament in his letters suggests his ability in Hebrew. His letters show also that he was fluent in Greek. Luke tells us on occasions he spoke in Aramaic. He spoke in the language of the Jews. So that's Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. But we're also told of his plans to minister in Spain and the western parts of the Roman Empire, which would have been Latin-speaking places, suggesting that he had ability in that language too. As he says himself in Galatians 1, verse 14, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. He says, I was shooting to the top. And in terms of his education, Paul was rising to the top of the class. And then a third thing under this introduction, his occupation and citizenship. His occupation and citizenship. What did he do for a job? Well, he was a tent maker by trade. Acts 18, verse 3. It's likely he learned tent making from his father. This was the main industry of Tarsus. The main product was a product called silicium. It was a cloth woven from the hair of the black goats in the region. So this was a very unique kind of material to Cilicia. And it was used to make protective clothing and coverings such as in tents. So this is the trade Paul would have learned, and he's a citizen of Tarsus, and he grows up with this trade. But he had dual citizenship as well. He wasn't just a citizen of Tarsus, and this is very uncommon for the day. Turn with me, please, to Acts 22. Acts chapter 22, verses 27 and 28. Acts 22, 27 and 28. The tribune came and said to Paul, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. The tribune answered, well, I bought the citizenship. I had to buy it with a large sum of money. Paul replies, but I am a Roman citizen by birth. So from his birth, he was not just a citizen of Tarsus, a Greek citizen. He was a Roman citizen as well. Now, that's interesting because that was very uncommon for Jews, for non-Romans, to be given this kind of citizenship. We don't know how or when it happened. The only way it would have been through some kind of outstanding service to Rome. F.F. Bruce has an interesting suggestion. A firm of tent makers could have been very useful to a fighting Roman general. You can just imagine Paul's father, or Paul's grandfather perhaps, producing some high-quality workmanship, tents for a Roman general, and the Roman general being so pleased that he grants Roman citizenship to this family, and it descends down the generations. We don't know for sure, but he has Roman citizenship. This would have granted him serious rights and privileges in those days. It gave him standing. It gave him position in any part of the empire. It meant he was exempt from certain punishments. He had the right of appeal to Rome. If he appealed to Caesar he had to go. And we know that Paul did make use of this citizenship. He appealed to his citizenship on at least two occasions. So in terms of a brief introduction to this man, those are some of the things we know regarding his place of birth, his family, his upbringing, his education, his occupation, his citizenship. Now you might be sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, well, all of this, it's vaguely interesting. I must say, I did not know Paul grew up in a place where the goat's hair was black. But I'm struggling, Pastor, to understand, how is this relevant to my life today? How does this help me to live the Christian life? How does this help me to go to work this week? Or to put it another way, so what? So what? Let's think thirdly then. We should remember a personal reflection from Paul. We should remember a personal reflection from Paul. Wouldn't it be great if we had Paul's own words about his life? Wouldn't it be great if we had even just a little snippet, Paul reflecting on his life, looking back in his early years? Well, that's exactly what we have in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, literally, Paul says, God set me apart from my mother's womb. God set me apart from my mother's womb. This idea to be set apart, it means to appoint or to separate for a specific purpose. It's used in Acts 13, verse 2. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Or it's found in Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul says, Galatians 1, 15, looking back on his life, God set me apart, he said. God appointed me, God separated me for a special purpose. Now, what special purpose was that? Well, he could well be drawing a parallel with the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated, or I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Just as Jeremiah was set apart before his birth as a prophet to the nations, so Paul understood that he was set apart as a preacher to the Gentiles. Do you see? In other words, Paul understands that God's dealings with him, God's purposes with him, they began long before the Damascus Road. Long before the Damascus Road. Paul is understanding that he was being prepared from the womb to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He understands that God's electing hand was on Paul's life from conception, that he'd been loved from before the foundation of the world. And the very moment his life began, God was setting him apart. And so it should make sense, though. It's logical then, wouldn't it be? We should be able to trace God's hand in Paul's early life and all the things pre-Damascus Road. If this is a man that God's hand was set upon, we should be able to trace God's fingerprints in Paul's early life. The great potter as he's shaping this vessel. And that's what we do find, friends. Think of what we've considered of Paul's place of birth. His family, his upbringing, his education, his occupation, his citizenship. Think of how these were all means by which God is shaping and preparing this servant, growing up in the Greek city of Tarsus. That would forever leave an impression on this man. He would have been fluent in Greek. His familiarity with Greek poets, Greek athletics, it's all over his letters. He could walk into the city of Athens. He could instantly relate to the people there. What a help this was to him in his ministry. his family. He's from a family of true blue Jews. He grew up speaking Aramaic at home, memorizing the Old Testament. He was sent to Jerusalem to study under a great rabbi. How profoundly helpful that would have been to him in his ministry. Even his occupation, a tent maker, a portable trade. Everyone needed tents. How incredibly useful to him as a church planter, being able to support himself financially. His Roman citizenship, which we've no idea how he got, yet he used it to prolong, to further his ministry. In other words, and it's a little bit like we saw with Moses a few weeks ago, all of these factors, his early life, all of it is preparing him, shaping him for his life's work. Not one experience wasted. Oh yes, pre-Damascus Road, Paul didn't know God in a saving way. But God knew him. God knew him, and God is weaving all the threads together in this man's life. And Paul's amazed as he reflects back on this. He said, God set me apart from my mother's womb. And he says, I see God's hand over all of that. He looks back, he says, God was overruling in all of that. And this is the so what, friends. This is where it touches down in your life and mine. Because what was true of Paul is equally true of every child of God. We just happen to have an infallible record of Paul's life to look back on. We don't have an authoritative account of our own lives that speak to us. That's hidden from us. We do have Paul's life. And we can marvel at how God prepared this man. We can look at all these things that were happening in his life, how it all fitted together, how he learned Greek, how he was a Roman citizen, how he was sent to Gamaliel, it all being part of God's great plan. I hope you can see that as you look at Paul's life and be moved to worship this God. But I hope you can also see it's equally true of us this morning. Everything that's brought you to this point in your life has been under the sovereign, overruling, and control of God. If you're a Christian this morning, you should know God's dealings with you, they didn't begin at the moment of your conversion. At the moment of your conversion, that wasn't when God suddenly became interested in you. Every moment of your life, from before the foundation of the world, but from the very moment of your conception, he's completely sovereign over. So your place of birth, your family, your upbringing, your education, your occupation, even your citizenship, God is over it all. He's over it all. And as we'll see in Paul's life, perhaps next week, even the hard bits, even the painful bits, even the deep regrets of our life, they're all still part of what makes us today. For everything that happens, there's a reason. And though we might not see the reason or understand the wisdom of it, let's learn from Paul's life. God is weaving all the threads for our great and ultimate good. So I do hope in this series that we'll be growing in our admiration for Paul. We'll be growing in our knowledge of Paul. But it should be said, if that's all that we do in this series, if that's all we get, a greater admiration for this man, a greater knowledge of this man, if that's all we get, I'm afraid we'll be wasting our time. We would be wasting our time because no one studies Paul with profit unless they've come to share the same passion Paul had in his life. Those classic words, "For me to live is Christ," Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. And in a sense, I don't care what you forget or what you miss out of this series, but if you can leave it, if you can get from this series, if it helps us to become more committed to Christ, with Him more exalted in our lives, if we're leaving each week longing to serve Him and to glorify Him, well, surely Paul will have achieved what he so often achieved by God's help, the glorifying of his Savior. The glorifying of his Savior. You might know the occasion when the great missionary William Carey was on his deathbed. People had all gathered round and everybody's talking about Carey. William Carey this, William Carey that. And William Carey sat up and he said, "Say nothing more about William Carey. Speak, rather, of William Carey's Savior." Isn't that what Paul would say to us? May God help us in this series of sermons, yes, to grow in our knowledge and admiration of Paul, but more importantly, to grow in our love and our devotion to the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for this man you used and your power was made perfect in. You used in a way to turn the world upside down for Jesus. We thank you for how in his early life we can see your fingerprints all over it, weaving all the threads together, the great potter shaping a vessel. And Lord, we know that what was true for Paul is equally true for every child of God. So Lord, help us to take comfort in this, in those experiences which we find so bizarre and we can't find any reason in them. Those circumstances in our lives that we can't understand or for good, help us to recognize and see that you are the great potter, that you're the great weaver, that you're the one over it all, and that even our place of birth, even our family, even our upbringing and our education, our occupations, even our citizenship, those are all things that you are sovereign over. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon Paul in an electing way from his earliest moment of life. We thank you that many of us can relate to that this morning. And if there be any today, Lord, who have not yet don't share this same passion of Paul, would you draw near? Would you speak to them and draw them to the Savior? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.